We go to church and say, God, I went to church, so now give me that promotion. God, I gave in the offering $5, so give me $150 now. God, I said something nice to my wife. I complimented her on her cooking, even though you know it was bad. I complimented her by faith, so now, Lord, give me some promotion at work. Make people good to me. Make people love me. And you know, I wish I could say when you do that, those things happen, but they don't.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you ever wonder if miracles still happen today? Sometimes when our prayers go unanswered, we begin to wonder if God is really there at all. Does he listen and respond? Well, Gideon is listed in Hebrews 11, the Great Hall of Faith, and yet he had doubts. He had doubts about God, and he had doubts about himself, so much so that he actually put God to a test. Now here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Gideon, When Only a Miracle Will Do.
So mark my words, God will test us. He'll take us through. Why? Well, same like Gideon. Gideon said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take care of those Midianites. Recruit some soldiers. Okay. Now, he must have been a good recruiter because he recruited 32,000. These guys come up and they're ready to go. And he's, okay, God, we're ready. Now, just bless us because we're going to go out there and wipe out the Midianites. Woo-hoo! God said to him, too many. Well, what do you mean too many? God bless us. No, too many. No, God, we're going to, no, too many. Huh? You asked me to do this. Now we're going to go. Now we're going to pray for your blessing and victory. Nah, too many. Too many. I want you to ask any of the people that are afraid or trembling, tell them go home. Okay, anybody fearful or trembling, go home. 22,000 go home. I could just see Gideon. Whoa, I was just joking. Come back. 22,000 leave. And he's standing there saying, oh man, come on, God. You got to bless us. There's going to be a question you and I have to answer. And write it in the next bullet there. Sooner or later, we're going to have to answer this one question. Will I use God or serve him? Am I going to use him or serve him? It's going to be a major question you're going to have to ask. Because if I use God, everything that I do, he has to reward. And so basically, he becomes a genie in the lamp that I call Christ, but really, it's just, I'm using God. In fact, let's read what God says to him. Go. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Yeah, he said, you see, either if you use me for your purposes, it'll bring pride into your life. If you serve me, that's a big difference. Are you going to use me or serve me? 10,000 left. He said, okay. The Lord says, nah, still too many. No way. Yes way. What now? Have him go drink. Drink water at the creek. And the ones that put their face in the water to drink, send them home. The ones that pick up water with their hands, keep their eyes to the hills, you keep them only. Okay, everybody go drink water. They go drink water. 9,700 put their faces in the water. Oh no, you dumb people. Oh no, they gotta go. They gotta go. Oh no. Go home, dogs. Go home. 300 left. Okay, Gideon. Oh God, we're gonna die. But he had to decide sooner or later, am I going to use God or am I going to serve him even if I die? You see, that's the kind of faith we have to come to because we're used to using God. That's kind of how it is. Okay, now you're there, huh? Yeah, we'll probably be road rash in a little bit. Okay, all right. Now you can run, you can bail out, you can go back to the cave, can't you? Uh-huh. What are you going to do? Because you can. You can keep living the way you want to. You know what God does? One of the ways he tests us, would you write in number 2? He offers us choices. You can make a choice. Hey, you can go back and live the way it has been, or you can deal with the Midianites who have been stealing your food, and then we're going to deal with some other things here and change you. You can keep going back to the dens, but I'm going to give you a choice. You know why? Because if God said, if you don't do what I tell you, I nail you, well, then we'll do what God says. But if he says, you choose. You choose. You know what that does? It tests my heart. It tests my heart. See, God doesn't want to necessarily just test my competence. He wants to test my heart. What kind of family do you want, Wayne? What kind of marriage? Good, mediocre, bad. What kind of ministry? Good, mediocre, bad. What kind of thoughts you want to think? Good, mediocre, bad. What do you want to be known for? Good, mediocre, bad. It's up to you. You choose. And then I think, oh, Lord, I want this and I want that. See, what it's doing is he's changing, testing my heart. Because if it was just by penalty, if you don't do this and that's going to happen, then I'll swing the pendulum over. But if he says, no, no, I'm not going to give you any penalty, you choose. Oh, really? Uh-huh. You see, someone said to me once, you know, Wayne, a reason why some of the men in the church don't sin is because they haven't had the opportunity yet to sin. But if they get the opportunity, it'll what? Test their heart. Test their heart. And so God offers us choices and says, Wayne, what do you think? Gideon, what do you think? Let's read what Deuteronomy 30 says. Go. I am now giving you the choice between life and death, between God's blessings and God's curse. And I call heaven and earth to witness the choice you... Yeah, you see, God is, he's refining our hearts. He says, choose, choose. Now, he'll test us, and you'll get your faith tested. I was in Australia, and this guy told me the story about a preacher that God had been dealing with him about pride. And he was well known, and he was speaking at a big crusade, and he sold a bunch of his books, and everyone, ooh, and he thought, man, this is real good. And he walked home to the hotel, and he thought, man, I'm good. I'm good. And the Lord had been dealing with him for the longest time. Well, he went up to his hotel room, and he had his swanky place, and he said, for the first time, he said, I ordered, he's telling this story, I ordered in-room service, you know. And so he said, I had a steak brought in and all of the trimmings. And so he says, the first time I had this kind of dining in kind of experience. So he said, I took off my coat, my suit, and, you know, whatever, wig, and I don't know. And he took off his pants because he said, I'm just going to just kind of go back into my underwear and I'm just going to enjoy my meal by myself. So he's cutting up the steak. He says, that's the best steak I ever had. You know, he's in his Speedos and he's eating his dinner. Just relax. But when it was all done, you have to put your tray outside the door. So he thought, oh, man. So he snuck out because he's in his Speedos, right? And he's got to make sure nobody's looking. And so he quickly puts his tray out. And when he does, the door closes. I started to howl. And he said, I heard God say, now who needs who? It's like God will check your heart. And if you don't listen, he'll test you a good one. But I thought, Lord, you do that, don't you? You test our heart. You know why? You know why? Because he knows out there, there's going to be times when life is going to be too big for you. And when you approach it, you need to have a faith built here. Otherwise, when that rolls over us like a steamroller, we're going to say, where are the miracles? Where's God? Did you abandon us? And he rewinds a tape and he says, Wayne, remember back here? I said, it's going to start with you. And there's a bunch of Midianites in your life that's eating all of the food that I have designed for your soul so that you'll be ready when those times come. And you didn't deal with any of the Midianites. So you went to church, you went to seminars, but your soul was starving. And then I'm going to test your faith and push on it. And you did end runs on me. You didn't like that. But I was there to shore up your heart so that you'll be strong, so that you can take your faith out of the sanctuary and into the marketplace, into the homes, because that's where it's going to be tested. And when life gets too big for you, you'll be all right. So when we hit problems, what do problems do? Let me tell you the last test here. Would you write down, you know what problems force us to do? Problems force us to make commitments to God regardless of the outcomes. Commitments to God. Let me explain that. Problems will come up. And sometimes we say, God, if I got faith, then I'm going to say, remove the problems. I wish I could tell you that if you believe God, all your problems will vaporize. I wish I could tell you everything will go hunky-dory, but it is not true. We live that way. We go to church and say, God, I went to church, so now give me that promotion. God, I gave in the offering $5, so give me $150 now. God, I said something nice to my wife. I complimented her on her cooking, even though you know it was bad. I complimented her by faith, so now, Lord, give me some promotion at work. Make people good to me. Make people love me. And you know, I wish I could say when you do that, those things happen, but they don't. They don't. You're going to hit a problem. And you know what? And here's the hard thing. Sometimes when we pray, God, change my boss, you're going to be in a situation where your boss will never change. You may be in a family situation. Your family will never change. They will be like that till you die. You will be in a community. You'll be in a relationship that sometimes they just won't change. So you know what God says? What's faith? Faith is changing them. Change that boss. Change him. Vaporize him. Poof. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, that doesn't happen. That won't happen. He may be there the rest of your stay in that company, and he'll stay like he is. Well, what's faith then? Faith is saying, it's okay. I will function, and I'll serve God anyway. And I will be the light that God's asked me to do. And all of heaven stands back and goes, whoa, now that's faith. Because you see, even Jesus came into the Israelite society, and it was filled with religious leaders that were filled with arrogance, filled with pride. Did they ever change? No. They were that way until he was crucified. You see, if faith were changed all those people by faith, then it would have happened with Jesus. You're going to be in some situations that will never change. It'll be like that. So what's faith? So then faith is useless? No. Faith is just like Jesus. He fulfilled the Father's plan even though the circumstances didn't change. He didn't use God. He served God. And when that happens, you look back now 2,000 years, he changed the world because of that. It's in Hebrews chapter 11 that you see the men and women great in faith listed there. And you think, well, if they're that good in faith, they should have really conquered. They were victorious in all things. Half of them were, but half were not. Let's read about it. It'll just kind of surprise you. Let's read it. Go. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, even shut the mouths of lions. Now watch this gear change. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. Now watch. And all these gained approval through their faith. Huh? Would you circle the word all? See, sometimes we think just those who are super successful will gain approval. Nah. Nah, you know the secret of a successful faith? It's like Job. Job was filled with boils, as you heard last week. And his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and like die? He had a very supportive wife, wonderful wife. And you know what Job said? Basically, he said this, doesn't matter if the circumstances don't change. I'm going to serve God. You know the way he said it? Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the music plays, you'll bow down to my idol. If not, this furnace that's blazing 7 times hotter than it should, you're going to go in there. What do you think? O king, said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know that we don't need to answer you concerning this. But our God will deliver us from that furnace of blazing fire because we're not going to bow down to your idol. Even if the circumstances don't change, our God will deliver us. But even if he does not, we will still serve him. Oh, you're not going to use him? No, we will serve him. We will serve him. Esther, if you don't go into that king and plead for your people, there may be a genocide. We're going to get wiped out. Oh, she said to Mordecai, if I go in there and the king didn't invite me in, I will die. I have to be invited in. You got to go. Okay, everybody fast and pray then. They fasted and prayed. When it was done, she said, I've heard from God. I'm going to go in there and plead for the life of my people. And then she said this, and if I perish, I perish. You see, what the secret of faith is God may put me in a circumstance and it might change, hallelujah, but it may not, and it's still faith. Because faith doesn't start with circumstances, it starts with me and dealing with some Midianites in my own life. And when I face it, the times when life is bigger than I am, then my faith will see me through. And whether the circumstances change or not, one day God looks back and says, you're a hero of legendary faith. Because that's exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. I'm going to introduce to you someone that I think is a hero of legendary faith right here in our church. His name is Corey Asino. He's been with us for 7 years. You may have seen him. He's driving our vans and our shuttle vans. He was born with cerebral palsy. Spent some time at Shriners Hospital. When he came to New Hope, God dealt with his life. And he gave God whatever he had. He started with what he had. And God then began to work through him. Now, did it mean all of a sudden everybody, when he turned to God, everybody liked him? No, not, didn't all. Some did, some didn't. But his goal wasn't to use God. His physical condition is still the same. His goal is to serve God. And that's what heaven calls heroes of legendary faith. But I'd like him to tell you a story. Would you welcome with me Corey Asino as he comes?
Hi, my name is Corey Asino, and I was born with a slight form of cerebral palsy. I thought I was bad off until I was placed into Shriners Hospital at the age of 6. I stayed there for surgery and therapy a year and a half. During that time, I met other children who were worse off than me. Some couldn't even sit or stand. Who were severely deformed, and I realized that I wasn't that bad off at all. I attended a private school for disabled children until I was in the third grade. After being tested, the school determined that I was qualified to go to regular public school. When I first got there, people looked at me funny. I felt out of place, but soon some of the teachers and some of the other kids started to make me feel accepted. That made me feel like I fit in and was a regular kid like everyone else. I played football, basketball. I could do everything everyone else did. As an adult, my life started to fall in place. Although there are people who always will look at me differently and doubt whether or not I can do the job, I learned to let what people thought about me pass and just to prove that I could do a good job. There was only one thing that really scared me. It was the day my wife told me that we were going to have a baby. I cried with her. We both had jobs, and how was I supposed to take care of him while she was at work? How can I do this? I'm not capable. How can I carry him, change his diapers? I'm not capable. My wife calmly told me that I had to do it and that it would be all right. There was no reason why I couldn't take care of our son. Our son is 15 today, tall, handsome, healthy, and alive. I never dropped him and was always able to give him the care he needed, more capable than I ever imagined. My family and I started to attend New Hope 7 years ago. I sat in the back row. I liked it the first week. I decided to come back the second. Then it hit me. He was talking about me. All the stuff that he was saying was about me. How did he know that I would be there? Then one day, Pastor Wayne's message was about getting involved. I wondered, what was it that I could do? I started asking questions and asked if I could help with the kwaki. Richard Waialeale asked me, "You like help?" I said, "Yeah." My son Jacob joined me, and from kwaki we moved to driving the shuttle. Me driving and my son Jacob serving as co-pilot and greeter. Throughout my life, there were teachers and coaches that gave me constant encouragement. In church, I find the same thing. People who judge you not by what they see on the outside, but what is in your heart. I learned that is how God works, from the inside out. I thank Him every day for that. God is an amazing God. He designs us so we are more capable than we think. My mother is now bedridden. My wife, my son Jacob, and I are blessed to take care of her. When I carry her to put her in a wheelchair, I realize that we have come full circle. God has given me the physical ability to carry the woman who once carried me. Although we prefer a better quality of life for her, through everything we go through, my family and I thank God always and say that we will persevere, because we know that with God, all things are possible. I thank you, and God bless.
Let's stand together. Heroes of legendary faith can be right here in this place. Sometimes we think faith is something we can't grasp. It's too far, because it only entails miracles. And faith, if you got faith, then it should change circumstances. That's not biblical. If we're going to learn about faith, we need to see what it really is. Faith has to do with us making it through with a light shining, giving people direction, even when life is too big for us. That's when we tap into His power. The circumstances always change. Oh, I'd love for it to, but no. Even Hebrews 11 tells us that. But all of them gained approval through their faith, because through it, many people found their way home. Even though circumstances didn't change, many lives changed because of our faith. That can be found right here in this place. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, there's some Midianites in my life, and Lord, could I ask that you would give me the strength? Because sometimes it seems like I'm like Gideon. I don't have the strength. But I think, Lord, sometimes I'm trying to change circumstances, and you're not working on the circumstances. You're working on me. Lord, first of all, would you give me your strength to see what faith really is? And also give me strength to start with the Midianites that have been eating the food of my soul. Stuff that you've already spoken to me about. So it's not new truths. It's obeying old ones. Lord, would you help me to do that? If that's you, would you just raise a hand? You're just saying to God, yeah, Lord, that's me. Would you help me, Lord? Would you help me? So Lord, see our hands, see our hearts. Shore us up where we need to be shored up. And if things change, we are grateful. And if they remain the same, change us, so that we'll lead many to the throne of God. Lord, I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give the Lord a clap offering? Just thank you.
Besides you, my heart and my strength, so many times they fail, but there is one truth that always will prevail. God is the strength. Oh, I know you're the strength.
You have just heard a message entitled Gideon, When Only a Miracle Will Do, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.